Morning. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8. Let's follow along. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, 'When you mount the lamps, the seven lamps will give light in front of the lampstand.' Aaron therefore did so. He mounted its lamps at the front of the lampstand, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now this was the workmanship of the lampstand, hammered work of gold from its base to its flowers. It was hammered work according to the pattern which the Lord had shown Moses, so he made the lampstand. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the Levites from among the sons of Israel and cleanse them. And thus you shall do to them for their cleansing, sprinkle purifying water on them, and let them use a razor over their whole body and wash their clothes, and they shall be clean. Then let them take a bull with its grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil, and a second bull you shall take for a sin offering. So you shall present the Levites before the tent of meeting. You shall also assemble the whole congregation of the sons of Israel and present the Levites before the Lord, and the sons of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. Aaron then shall present the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering from the sons of Israel, that they may qualify to perform the service of the Lord. Now the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the bulls, then offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering to the Lord to make atonement for the Levites. And you shall have the Levites stand before Aaron and before his sons as to present them as a wave offering to the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the sons of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. Then, after that, the Levites may go in to serve the tent of meeting, but you shall cleanse them and present them as a wave offering. For they are wholly given to me from among the sons of Israel. I have taken them for myself instead of every first issue of the womb, the firstborn of all the sons of Israel. For every firstborn among the sons of Israel is mine. Among the men and among the animals, on the first day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. But I have taken the Levites instead of every firstborn among the sons of Israel, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the sons of Israel to perform the service of the sons of Israel at the tent of meeting and to make atonement on behalf of the sons of Israel, that they may be no plague among the sons of Israel by their coming near to the sanctuary.' Thus did Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the sons of Israel to the Levites, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so the sons of Israel did to them. The Levites, too, purified themselves from sin and washed their clothes, and Aaron presented them as a wave offering before the Lord. Aaron also made atonement for them to cleanse them. Then, after that, the Levites went in to perform their service in the tent of meeting before Aaron and before his sons, just as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did to them. Now, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'This is what applies to the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, they shall enter to perform service in the work of the tent of meeting. At the age of 50 years, they shall retire from service in the work and not work anymore. They may, however, assist their brothers in the tent of meeting to keep an obligation, but they themselves shall do no work. Thus, you shall deal with the Levites concerning their obligations.'" Amen. Okay. So the first part talks about Moses' duty in the tabernacle. So you'll notice that that most of the work was done by Aaron, his two sons, and then they had, remember, the family members, or I'm sorry, the Levites that came and did the heavy lifting, per se. But there was one job that Moses had that God specifically had just chosen him to do, and was to light the candlestick it's not even a candlestick. I mean, this was really quite an impressive piece of furniture, in a sense, because it was this lampstand, had seven lamps, but it was made out of pure gold. It was hammered. I mean, all the instructions are way back in Exodus, but the only one that was privileged to bring the light into God's house was Moses. And so there was something about the friendship of God. There's something about the connection that God had with Moses that enabled Moses to be the one doing this. And this is really his only function in the tabernacle. It's kind of interesting in that regard. And then he tells them, now we get to the cleansing of the Levites. Now notice in this passage, he takes the Levites And the first thing he says that for them, in order for them to be of use, in order for them to be effective, the first thing you need to do is to cleanse them. And so this is fairly important passage, and I think has a lot of ramifications for us, because the first part is they should have already been fit or useful because they had already been set apart by God. You guys understand that? So out of all the tribes of Israel, and if you weren't here this week, the reason why God chose the Levites is because when he came down with the Ten Commandments and they built the golden calf, and Moses stood up and said, who's going to stand with me? And the only people that stood with Moses in that divine moment were the Levites. And so every firstborn was given to God at the 10th plague, and now those ones were supposed to be the ones, but since they missed their appointed time, in other words, their disobedience basically put them to the sideline, God says, okay, I'm going to take my faithful ones, and they're going to serve my house perpetually. Later on, I'm just giving an idea, later on, when he says in verse 14, you shall separate the Levites from among the sons of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. You know, this law is still in effect today. And in fact, among the Jewish people, and now I don't necessarily believe that you have to even show yourself to be a Levite. I mean, there may be some. I'm not all that in tune with the Jewish system. But in Israel, there's a huge debate or problem, because there's these Orthodox Jews that are basically saying, I'm dedicated to God, and guess what? They're now exempt from military service. And so everyone in Israel, male and female, go to the military. You know that, right? And in this regard, if you are Orthodox and you say, I'm given to the Lord, you know, these guys that we wear the long hair, you know, around your around the ears and goes down. And if you're in that boat, you're actually exempt from military service and you receive a salary from the government. And so this is causing huge social issues in Israel, because as Israel as a nation becomes more and more secular, and that's basically what's happening, then all this Old Testament stuff kind of gets lost to the side. But obviously it's in their constitution, because their constitution is based on the scriptures, and it's creating this tremendous social upheaval, and in even this religious class is being ostracized and looked down upon, even in Israel. And so just to understand that when he says, you're mine, and this is what it means to be mine, it's still happening today. And so even though, think about this, even though God says, you're mine, God says, I set you apart, you know, you're a chosen people, you're special, this is the family and all these things, and even with all that pedigree, guess what? You still need to be cleansed. You still need to be cleansed. You still need to go before the Lord and offer a sacrifice on your behalf. And so, and notice how it's done. So the first thing, the thing here, it's not some huge ceremony. It's not some pomp and ceremony tradition. It's really a simple thing. He says, bring them here. God says, I'm going to cleanse them. And so this is what you should do to them. You should cleanse them, just sprinkling water. So we're not talking about like a big bath or ritual cleansing ceremony. Just simple, sprinkle them with water, and then use a razor and shave their whole body, which is kind of weird. And so shave their whole body, and then wash their clothes, and they shall be clean. And what this is meant by this, of shaving their body, washing their clothes, is the incredible detail of God to separate them or to cleanse them from the world. That's really what it represents. And you'll notice when God gives very specific, almost seemingly minute instructions, that's really the purpose, is the minutest details that God gives in relation to sin, in relation to cleansing. And so it's important to God, so much so that he gives such detailed account of what you shall do. I mean, you know, I mean, thank God we're in New Covenant, man, right? Because, you know, as a Levi, I mean, we basically considered, you know, as people that go into full-time vocational ministry, you know, can you imagine I got to shave my whole body? It's like ridiculous. But again, thank God for Jesus. So then what happens is they do these things, and then let them take a bull with the grain offering, fine flour, all these things, present the Levites before the Lord, and the sons of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. Now, sons of Israel, it's not referring to all of Israel. It's impossible for, you know, however millions, 2.5 or whatever millions to come and lay hands, right? I mean, that'll take a year. So what most likely what the scholars believe, the sons of Israel are talking about the firstborn sons of Israel. In other words, these were the ones that were supposed to have been given to God and consecrated to God for this service, but again, they disobeyed the Lord, they sinned, and so they were omitted from the plan of God. So then God raised somebody else up. And so what is meant by this is the sons of Israel came, they laid their hands on the Levites, and in essence, they were transferring that blessing to the Levites. And then later on, so then after that happens, they take the bull, and what do the sons of the Levites do? Then they take their hands and they place it on the head of the bull. What are they doing? They're transferring their sin. This goes all the way back from Leviticus, if you remember going through that all that stuff. And so let's just take a moment and let's talk about laying on of hands, okay? This is something that we do, something that we practice quite a bit, because, you know, really, first and foremost, we see Jesus doing this. And whenever he draws people close, he's laying hands on them. There's a transfer that's happening in some way. Now, I don't want you to think like sci-fi. You know what I mean? Like, you know, don't think like X-Men and all those kind of crazy stuff. The trance, it's not like some power, you know, emanating from you, like Iron Man or something like that. But really is, it's the conferring of blessing. It's something that God is doing in you and God is working in your life. And when you lay hands on somebody, it's a part of a spiritual transfer that's taking place. This is actually quite beautiful. You'll remember, you know, every once in a while, I'll talk about this, but there's this idea of our hands. And for a lot of us, you know, our hands. We do stuff with it. You know, but in the Hebrew tradition, in the Hebrew mind, the hand actually represented the heart. And so when you look in the Psalms and you hear, you know, David say, lift your hands to God, he's not just talking about a worship pose. You know what I mean? Like we say, lift your hands in the sanctuary. It's not like a specific worship pose that he wants. What David is saying is offer your hearts to the Lord. And so there was this aspect. And so even more so, when you go and lay hands on somebody, there's something that happens. You got to understand, there's things in the natural that are affected by the spiritual. And what I mean by that, there's things of God, principles of God, that just work. You know, it just works. Like, for instance, in life, in general, even outside of, let's say, Christianity, if you are generous, generosity will also come to you. It's one of those things. You know, in the world, they call it karma. You know, obviously, we don't believe in that kind of stuff. Because it's not just happenstance or luck. We believe it's God the one that's orchestrating and honoring the generosity. In that regard, too, when we deal with laying on of hands, even science has shown that if they've done studies with patients, with babies, terminal patients, that if you simply, like, you know, test cases, if one nurse touched the patient as opposed to a nurse that never touched the patient, that the nurse that touched the patient, that patient improved drastically to the point where people are saying, wow, there's something to physical touch. And there is. And it's again, it's one of these God principles that are just prevalent throughout humankind, if you understand what I mean by that. And so there's something about laying on of hands and touching that produces power. There was a transfer. In this regard, the sons of Israel, the firstborn sons, they're blessing. But what they're really doing is they're transferring the blessing that was supposed to be theirs, and they're offering back. By the way, most scholars believe that this is not written in chronological order. Okay, and so don't think that this was done before. This was probably done way before the last chapter and everything that happened. And so the narrative is a little different. And so they go out, and then in the offerings, the sin offerings particularly, what did the priest do, or what does the Israelite? So if I come and I'm asking God to forgive my sins and, you know, make propitiation for those things, what I'm doing is I'll bring my bull and I'm going to lay my hands on the bull, and then the priest is going to, you know, do its work. And so that's basically what you have happening here. And so there's something about the laying on of hands. So just think about that. That's why in the New Testament, the scriptures tell us that you be careful who you lay hands on. Because because if you lay hands on someone that's, I don't want to really use this word, but, you know, kind of evil, you know, in a sense, then there could be, one, an endorsing of that evil. And so he says, be very careful who you lay your hands on. You know, and it also could be that there could be some negative transfer that takes place. Now, let me say this very clearly, just so you guys don't go off on tangents, okay? That doesn't mean that, let's say you lay hands on someone, and let's say they have an evil spirit. It doesn't mean that evil spirit transfers to you automatically. Very carefully, no, it does not. The Bible is very clear that curses, when they're offered, they could only alight. In other words, they can only land if there's some issues that you have, right? If you're in good standing with the Lord, and you're, you know, you're walking with God, you don't have to fear anything. The Bible is very clear. You don't have to fear anything. I mean, you can walk through hell, and you're fine. But if there is an open door in your life in some part, maybe because of unforgiveness, maybe repetitive sin that's unrepentant, those things are happening, that you have what you can consider a chink in your armor, or you can consider some kind of open door, and that's when that enemy can come in that regard. You guys understand what I'm saying? Okay, so I don't want you to think, oh man, I can't, you know, that person looks weird. I'm not gonna lay hands on that person, or, you know, I don't know about that. If you're walking with the Lord, you have nothing to fear. Really, okay? I mean, really, you're walking with God, you have nothing to fear. Now, you're not walking with the Lord, you know, walk with the Lord. I mean, there's really no other way to go around this. And then he separates them. He gives them the whole reasoning why he's doing this. And remember, a lot of times as we read, especially through Leviticus and Numbers, it seems so repetitive. It seems because this is their record. They're going to keep this record for throughout their generation. So it's important for them to be very wordy and very precise and very accurate. And so the Levites purifies themselves from sin. So they did it, and then they went to perform the work. And then he talks about retirement. And so at 25 years old, so the Levites, whatever before then, at 25 years old, you come in and you basically intern. And you intern for 5 years. And when you're 30 years old, you get to be full-fledged into this tent of meeting and the work of the service. And then at 50, you're meant to retire. And this is you retire from the labor, not retire from your duty. And the labor was simply because, you know, the Levites, I know it sounds like a very glamorous job. You know what they were, basically? They were professional movers. That was pretty much what they're doing. as they're journeying through, they were moving the tent of meeting, and one particular member, the sons of Kohath, they had to carry. Everyone else, they were just basically moving the tent from one place to another as they were journeying through this whole thing and helping the priests in the work of the service. So it was not a glamorous job. It was a very necessary job. It was a job set apart. But can you imagine, it was back-breaking labor to carry these huge things, you know, everywhere, all throughout these, you know, 40 years in the wilderness. And so it was just the wisdom of God to say, hey, yeah, when you hit 50, you know, you're done. You're done from the labor, but you still have a duty. And the duty was to, you know, read in verse 20, however, you may assist their brothers in the tent of meeting. And so now they're in the tent and not so much doing all the labor, moving the tent from place to place. And they were probably more likely mentoring the 25-year-olds into the work of service. And so that's generally kind of how it's done. Don't read into this, okay? You know, you're 49, you're like, oh man, it's time to retire, right? There's no correlation in that regard, particularly in this, you know, thing. And interesting enough, denominations have set a 50-year, I mean, back in the days, they read things like this and said, all right, pastors, you retire at 50. Man, you know what, to be honest, pastors only get good when they're 50. I mean, it's like this is when they really start hitting their stride. So I have a few more years to go before I get good, you know, in this regard. I'm very aware of that. There's something about the seasoning, you know, over this period of time that they really walk into. What a travesty to retire them, you know, at that age. Man, what a poor reading of Scripture. So let's close our eyes. I realize I didn't really spend as much time on this point as I should have. But regardless of your Christian heritage, regardless of your pedigree, you know, your grandma planted the first church in Hong Kong and all that stuff. I mean, all that stuff is fantastic, man. Amazing. What an incredible heritage. But you too also need cleansing. Right, it's a personal thing. You too need a Savior. You know, honestly, in Hong Kong, I don't know what it is, but I've met so many people that are trying to live out their Christian life on the pedigree of their family. In other words, you know, my uncle was a pastor. I've never seen it anywhere else, but something about Hong Kong, people just live off the pedigree of their families. You know, my grandmother planted a church, and that's fantastic. But you also need a Savior. And so I want to encourage you this morning to go before the Lord personally. Even though you are set apart, even though you are consecrated to the Lord, you too need a Savior. And the only one is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, let's just offer up our lives to Him once again.
Refine as fire.
Do something a little different this morning. And if you're sitting next to somebody, why don't you just gently move over and just lay your hands on them. Just bless them. Right? We have the power of God, the Spirit living in us, to really confer a blessing on one another. And so let's just find somebody, let's get near someone. Just lay your hands and just bless them. Don't worry about being prophetic or any of that kind of stuff. And that's good too, but just bless them. Just lay your hands and just speak goodwill. Just speak God things into their life. And the power of laying hands. And let's just really receive a blessing of the Lord. If someone doesn't have anyone, just raise your hand and okay, everyone, guys, you can triple up too if need to be. And let's just bless each other this morning before we go into our corporate prayers. Keep that up. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our family and our community that are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word and just the grace and comfort of the Lord to come upon them. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our community that is ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for spiritual healing and physical healing. Let's pray for our community that is going through non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community as they look for work. Let's pray for God's provision and just really a very good use of their time now. Let's pray for North Asia. Let's pray for North Korea. Let's ask the Lord to bless our friend Chris and his community, missionaries there. Let's pray for South Korea, that God would open a door somewhere down the road to plant a church there. Let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for our friend Pastor Mitsunobu in Kobe and Pastor Sophia, who's be preparing to make her way there this year. Let's just lift up these countries, these people, our friends ministering there. Let's ask God to do a deep, incredible work in these countries. Let's pray for our education department. Let's lift up Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for the pastors and the teachers in these ministries, and obviously the students and the kids. And let's ask God to just so richly bless them. Let's pray. Let's continue to be diligent in praying for SP 2.0. Pray for our new building that we have yet to receive, but we're going to continue to stand in faith. And let's pray God brings a benefactor. This is just a prophetic word that we got to pray. And so we're just being obedient to that. We're not relying on anyone or any group or anything like that, but just really relying on God. So let's just pray to the Lord about our building. Let's cover our weekend activities. Let's pray for EG, GIC class, EMP Bible study, prison outreach. Pray for our two Sunday services. I'll be preaching. Pray for Noah's Ark, our worship teams, our hospitality, the youth group, Yahweh, the marketplace ministry, and all the other meetings that are going on throughout this very busy weekend. Let's just ask the Lord's hand to be with us, and people would come into an encounter with God through them. Let's pray for Pearl. Let's pray for protection and a blessed trip to Israel with the brothers and sisters this year. Pray for God's direction of job move, promotion, favor, and blessings, and reconciliation of relation with her, within her family, and salvation of her parents, and and a younger brother to come back to the Lord, to the church. Let's just lift up Pearl and her family. Let's pray for Fiona. Let's pray for her family's salvation, her parents, her older brother and younger sister. Pray for a complete healing for Uncle Sydney, who is suffering from cancer. And also pray for guidance and direction for her career. Let's pray for Fiona. Pray for Virginia. Let's pray for her work. She'd have much favor at the workplace, direction, opportunity to grow this year. Pray for a relationship, to have faith that he will provide a spouse. Also pray for her family salvation, wisdom to share the gospel with her family, especially her parents, and pray for open hearts for them to receive from the Lord. So let's lift up Virginia and her family. Lastly, if we can just continue to spend a little bit of time, let's pray for Christina. Her condition is going up and down, up and down. And so she has a CAT scan this morning at 9 a.m. And let's pray for a favorable one, that she can be released from ICU into the general ward. And if that happens, then the kids can go and visit. They're getting quite anxious. And so let's cover Kiwan. Let's cover the girls. Let's pray for Christina that the clot would just shrink on its own, and God would do a miracle right now over her. Let's just lift up Christina and family. Father, we humble ourselves before you this morning, Lord, and we ask you to move, God, on our behalf, Father. Lord, touch Christina, touch our friends. Lord, there's a lot of really deep, heavy, unspoken prayers out there in our community as well. And Lord, would you come and be God, Lord, over all these things. Father, we thank you. Lord, watch over us today as we give glory to Jesus in all that we do and say. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow, ready to worship the Lord.